This is Kathy bringing you the Tri-County News for the week of February 24th. And start with the first headline, upcoming vaccine clinic information from the Douglas County Health Department. Please note the following changes in scheduled vaccine clinics for Douglas County residents for the upcoming weeks. Because of anticipated smaller dose allotments, only one clinic will be held per week rather than two. There will be both a second dose portion and a first dose portion within each weekly clinic. Thursday, February 25th, well, that was yesterday, so I'll skip that one. Wednesday, March 3rd at the Arcola Masonic Center, 1:30 to 3:30 is the second dose clinic, and 3:30 to 5:30 is the first dose clinic for ages 65 and older. The process to sign up for the clinics remains the same. Check the DCHD website, which is the dchealthdepartment.org, for registration links on Friday afternoon at 4:30. If signing up for a second dose, be sure the date of the clinic is on or after the date written on the back of your vaccine record card. Registration links will be clearly marked as first dose or second dose. There's also a video tutorial on the website showing how to successfully register for an appointment. When you arrive for your appointment, please bring with you a printed copy of your appointment ticket with the QR code or have it on your smartphone, driver's license or other ID showing residence, filled out copy of a pre-vaccination checklist, and a vaccine consent form. The last two forms can be found on the DCHD website by clicking the Forms tab on the right. We will also have those forms available at the clinic, but it will streamline your experience if you have them already completed. If you are getting a second dose, be sure to bring your vaccine record card with you to the appointment. All vaccine recipients should wear something that allows for easy access to the upper arm, which is where the vaccine is administered. There will also be a 15-minute observation period after receiving the vaccine. This headline reads, Tuscola BOE approves construction bonds and contract by Kendra Hennis. The February meeting of the Tuscola Board of Education was called to order at 7 p.m. on February 22nd with all members present. The search is over for Tuscola schools as the Tuscola Board of Education voted to approve a contract with Omni Energy Company as the qualified energy service company to complete the upcoming school projects. The interviewing committee of Jesse Young, Daryl Spillman, and Superintendent Gary Alexander said that they felt that Omni, even in the interview, was already working for them, coming with ideas and plans that they had for the school. The next step in the process is Omni coming in to assess the buildings and create a five-year plan for them to bring to the board. The board also approved a resolution providing for the issue of General Obligation School Bond Series 2021 of the district for the purpose of increasing the working cash fund and refunding certain outstanding bonds of the district, providing for the levy of a district annual tax sufficient to pay the principal and interest of said bonds, and authorizing the sale of said bonds to the purchase thereof. The bond approval is in the amount of $5 million and will go towards construction projects at the schools in the district. The resolution was the final step in the board process, bond process, and the school is set to receive funds on March 16th. Superintendent Alexander, in his monthly report to the board, said that the finances at the school were okay, with personnel expenses leading their costs. He did mention that the school's revenues are currently ahead of their expenses, but they have received most of the revenue that they will receive already. He reported that the school has received an FOIA request, FOIA, that the heat issue at North Ward had been taken care of, and thanked the custodians for all of their extra work with the snow day last week. Alexander noted that Governor Pritzker's current preliminary budget does not include any additional funding for the evidence-based funding. He also said that the IASB meeting would be held in virtual format on February 25th if any in the board had interest in attending. He ended noting that the school calendar had changed a smidge due to the snow on snow day. Students' last day will now be June 1st and the teachers' June 2nd. He will have the adjusted 2021 and first draft of the 21-22 calendar at the March meeting. During his principal's report, Tuscola High School Principal Steve Fiscus reported new and official dates for high school events due to lifted IDPH regulations. This includes homecoming week at TCHS set for March 22nd to the 22nd to the 27th. Homecoming week will consist of a spirit week the 22nd to the 27th. Powder Puff football on March 24th at 5 and 6:30 p.m. Homecoming football game against Clinton on Friday and coronation on Saturday, March 27th at 7 p.m. for all TCHS students in a sport or school activity. Due to current IDPH guidelines, none of these events are open to the public. However, they will be streamed. Other dates include the Spring Musical, the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, to be held April 27th through May 1st. Senior College Prep Day will be held April 13th. May 2nd is set to be the Spring Band Concert with EP at 2 p.m. and the high school at 5 p.m. and Honors Day on May 1st at 10 a.m. He also announced that the current football spectator policy limits visitors to 50, even with outdoor sporting events. This has caused the district to reach the decision to have home spectators only in attendance, with priority of family and limited bleacher seats available. Events will be live streamed. A bright note in the guidance is that the pep band will be able to perform at football games. Fiscus ended noting that TCHS has had 2-0 recovery days for students to attend. They had 66 students attend the first and 76 the second week. These 0 recovery days allowed for 158 missing assignments to be made up that day. He hopes that more will continue to come and they will see steady improvement throughout the school year. East Prairie Principal Jared Venuzdal followed noting that the volleyball and girls basketball seasons were coming to an end with only 4 games remaining. He announced that 8th grade night would be held February 23rd at TCHS. Venuzdal then congratulated Evan Verrill on his second place victory at the Douglas County Spelling Bee. Evan will move to regionals out on March 13th at Richland. Additionally, he congratulated Katie and Jasmine on their participation at the Douglas County and East Prairie Spelling Bees. He then thanked Mrs. Fowler, the East Prairie cheer coach, for holding cheer clinics every other Wednesday for potential cheerleaders. He also congratulated VFW Patriot Pen Award winners honored today at TCHS. Trent Bayers, Macy Code, or Coad, Kyler Alhawani, and Jasmine West, and teacher Carmen Morgan for being named the VFW Citizen of the Year. Venuzdal ended thanking Coach Pugh for all of her hard work in coaching and scheduling amidst a global pandemic and snowstorms. North Ward Principal Jason Wallace followed, saying that certified staff evaluations have been completed at North Ward, as well as parent discussions. More will follow on this in future meetings. He said the kindergarten screenings were scheduled at the Tuscola United Methodist Church. Wallace congratulated North Ward PE teacher Nolan Wohler for being awarded the Empowering Education Grant for $500. Wallace ended saying Tuscola schools were doing great given the difficulties with the coronavirus pandemic. The staff was great covering for each other when needed, being amazing, and he said he is very proud and thankful for all they do for the school district. The board also approved a $100 donation from Steve and Bev Wetzel for Help a Child, approved a $250 donation from Bradley and Kristen Brown for Help a Child, approved a $500 donation from the Victory Church of Camargo for Help a Child, approved an anonymous $200 donation for SAD, approved an anonymous $200 donation for Help a Child, approved a $300 donation from Mary Reese for Help a Child, approved the minutes from the January 25th regular board meeting, approved the bills in the amount of $877,697.01, approved the monthly treasurer and bookkeeper's reports, approved moving to closed session for the purposes defined in 5 ILCS 120-2C1 personnel and 9 student discipline and 11 pending litigation. Adjourned at 8:12 p.m. until the March 22nd meeting at 7 p.m. This next article, City Council Dissolves Iron Horse Special Service Area by Kendra Hennis. The Tuscola City Council met for the second monthly meeting on February 22nd at 7:30 with all members present. During the reports, Mayor Dan Kleiss thanked city workers for their extra work with all of the snow last week. Treasurer Alti Long then notified the council that the Tuscola Tourism Report was available for 2020. The report showed a decrease in activity in 2020 due to COVID-19. However, that also led to less money being spent over the year, meaning they will have some funds to start out with for this year. The council then approved an ordinance for the dissolving of the Iron House Special Service Area due to the cost being too high. The city had been working on the project over the past couple of months, but due to too many unknowns, they were not able to receive a bid within the budget. They also approved software upgrades with Civic Systems for upgrades to all of the various modules of the Clarify platform to the Conus platform at a cost of $14,275. This cost was already budgeted by the city and will upgrade the utility billing, payroll, general ledger, accounts payable, etc.
This upgrade will also be part software change to more of a service than an upgrade, meaning that the system will now be updated as often as needed and the city will instead pay a maintenance fee. The council ended discussing property damage to the pole building at the end of South Central Avenue, which is formerly the street department, due to a significant amount of snow causing the roof to collapse. An insurance claim has been filed, but they won't know the full extent of the damage and the best route to repair or replace the structure until the following meeting. The council also approved the minutes of the February 8th City Council meeting, approved the January 2021 financial report, approved the payment of bills in the amount of $108,035.55, and adjourned at 7:53 p.m. until the March 8th Council meeting at 7:30 p.m. Board approves bridge repair throughout the county by Kendra Hennis. The monthly Douglas County Board meeting was called to order at 9 a.m. on February 17th with all members present. During discussion of the consent agenda, the board approved 21R6, the approval of the renewal of the County Aid Township Bridge CATB petitions for fiscal year 2021. These petitions include the relining and repair of the bridge on the southeast quarter of the Section 35 Township 14 North in Arcola Township, removal of existing structure and construction of a new structure with adequate hydraulic capacity and construction of roadway approaches at the bridge at 1465 over Scattering Fork in Beaudry Road Township. Removal of existing structure and construction of a new structure with adequate hydraulic capacity and construction of roadway approaches at the bridge at 825 North County Road 250 East in Garrett Road District. Removal of existing structure and construction of a new structure with adequate hydraulic capacity and construction of roadway approaches at the bridge at 2300 East County Road 800 North in Newman Road District, and removal of existing structure and construction of a new structure with adequate hydraulic capacity and construction of roadway approaches at the bridge at 2820 East County Road 1150 North in the Newman Road District. Removal of existing damaged undercapacity CMP culvert and construction of an 8x2 concrete culverts of adequate hydraulic repair, road repair, and items of related construction of the bridge on the southwest corner, northwest quarter, southwest quarter section 4, township 16 in the Murdoch Road District. Removal of existing structure and construction of a new structure with adequate hydraulic capacity and construction of roadway approaches and other items of related construction on the bridge at 1470 East County Road 100 North in the Beaudry Road District. Removal of existing structure and construction of a new structure with adequate hydraulic capacity and construction of roadway approaches and other items of related construction of the bridge at 1325 East County Road 600 North in Arcola Road District. Removal of existing structure and construction of a new structure with adequate hydraulic capacity and construction of roadway approaches and other items of related construction of the bridge at 220 North County Road 575 East in Bourbon Road District. The replacement of failed existing NBIS bridge structure with concrete box culverts of adequate hydraulic capacity, construction of a bituminous roadway surface and other items of related work of the bridge on the northwest corner of the southwest quarter of Section 16, Township 16 in Arcola Road District. The petitions requested $447,170 in aid toward the townships and municipalities in Douglas County that will be applied by the County Bridge Fund. The board also approved the renewal of an agreement between the county and the road commissioners for the maintenance of county roads by the township road commissioners at the contract price of $1,300 per mile for a term of 1 year commencing on April 1st, 2021. Following, Douglas County Board Chairman Don Munson reminded those interested that Douglas County Board Committee and Subcommittee reports are available on the Douglas County website. Also during this time, Board Member Ed Luth said that he would like a way to include more community members in the subcommittee meetings, with the possibility of one person from each town as a representative. Luth also said that the coroner subcommittee meetings had been moved to the person from each town had been moved to the second Tuesday of the month, as it worked better for scheduling. They ended the section with the board members thanking Douglas County Health Department Administrator Amanda Miner for their success with the vaccine clinics thus far. This led to Miner beginning her report of the Douglas County Health Department. She said that the state of Illinois is holding second doses of the COVID vaccine back. and therefore there would be no first doses or vaccine clinics for the week of February 15th. She then said that the second dose of the COVID vaccine would be given at Arcola and ALAH schools this week. Minor also noted that the link for the next vaccine clinic would be available on the Douglas County Health Department website on Friday for next Thursday's clinic. Minor said that vaccines still needed to be given at Tuscola and Villa Grove schools, and they have staff numbers ready when those vaccines are available to them. She said they were beginning vaccine distribution at select CVS and Walgreens pharmacies, which would be helpful in getting them administered to more people. Minor noted that currently Douglas County has the Moderna vaccine due to the strict freezing regulations with the Pfizer vaccine, but hopes that Douglas County could consider the one-shot Johnson & Johnson vaccine if it gets approved. Minor additionally noted that Douglas County residents who would be in Champaign may be eligible to receive their vaccine in Champaign County. She ended by saying that she knows the importance of getting vaccines to all who want them, but it will take some time for that to happen. Please be kind to those trying to help. The board also approved the January 20th, 2021 regular board minutes, approved the payments of the county's financial obligations, approved the reports of fees of county offices, appointed Tyler Harvey to the 911 board, approved the Douglas County Coroner's timesheets, approved payment of Rapsacan purchase for the courthouse security area in the amount of $28,102, adjourned at 9:42 a.m. until the March 17th meeting at 9 a.m. And now for the obituaries for this week. Gregory C. Teeter. Gregory C. Teeter, 68 of Casey, formerly of Villa Grove, died at 6:37 p.m. on February 16th at the Carl Foundation Hospital. Gregory was born on June 5, 1952, in Tuscola to John C. and Dorothy Ledger Teeter. He is survived by the love of his life, Diane Teeter, four children, John of Villa Grove, Kurt and Amber of Villa Grove, Amanda of Pisotum, and Lacey of Atwood. 15 grandchildren, one great-granddaughter, and one sister, Lorna Cochran of Marion. He was preceded in death by his parents. Greg was a 1970 graduate of Villa Grove High School and served in the Navy above the USS Samuel Gompers from 1970 to 77, where he earned the rank of Petty Officer Second Class. He was employed as a correctional officer for 23 years at the Danville Correctional Center, serving as the food service supervisor before retiring. Greg loved to fish, mow his lawn, collect coins, and was a car and motorcycle enthusiast. He enjoyed researching his family's genealogy and historical facts, especially pertaining to the military. He was a lifelong member of the Villa Grove VFW Walter Jones Post, 2876. A private funeral service was held at 11 a.m. on Saturday, February 20th, at the Joyner's Funeral Home in Villa Grove, with an hour prior public visitation. Burial followed at the Arcola Township Cemetery in Arcola. Lynn Lee Sanders. Lynn was born August 6, 1943 in Cheyenne, Wyoming, to Willard Bill and Rita Black. She passed away February 15th in Duncan, Oklahoma. She attended school in Villa Grove and married Ted A. Sanders in Park County, Indiana, in July of 1989. Lynn was the owner-operator of the Rockville Lanes in Rockville, Indiana, before retiring to Oklahoma. She enjoyed fishing, bowling, crafting, and travel. Survivors include her husband, Ted of Duncan, Oklahoma, siblings Becky Bear of Michigan, Kay Carter of Illinois, Bill and Anita of North Carolina, Mike Black and his wife Brenda of North Carolina, Crystal Black, Claude Felder of Virginia, Mark Klum of Missouri. Surviving children include Brett Coddington of Indiana, Brad Coddington of Indiana, Brandy Coddington of Indiana, LaDonna Pickett of Oklahoma, and Carrie Lee Robert of Oklahoma. 15 grandchildren, 22 great-grandchildren, and many nieces and nephews. Lynn was preceded in death by her parents, Bill and Rita Black, and her sister, Carol Klum. The family asks that in lieu of flowers, donations be made to the Chisholm Trail Hospice, 2000 Elk Avenue, Duncan, Oklahoma, or the American Lung Association at www.lung.org in her name. The family wants to extend a special thank you to Dr. Laura Myrick and the staff of the Chisholm Trail Hospice of Duncan, Oklahoma. Thomas McLean. Thomas Tommy McLean, 66 of Mattoon, Illinois, passed away at 3:25 on Saturday, February 13th at OSF St. Francis Medical Center in Peoria. A celebration of life service will be held at a later date. The Edwards Funeral Home is assisting with arrangements. Tommy was born on October 28, 1954 in Tuscola. He was the son of Thomas and Janet Rose McLean, and married Peggy Ann Henry on December 18th in 1982. He is survived by his wife, Peggy McLean,
children Christopher Weber and his wife Diane of Mattoon, and Chad Weber and his wife Jillian of Mattoon, grandchildren Shally Weber of Chicago, Christian Weber and his wife Allie of Mattoon, Carly Weber of Charleston, Illinois, Drew Howell of Mattoon, Gracie Croy of Mattoon, and Shady Croy of Mattoon, great-grandchildren Charlie Weber, Jackson Locke, and Callister Weber, his mother Jan McLean of Arcola, and three brothers Michael and his wife Kathy of Corvallis, Oregon, Brian McLean of Tempe, Arizona, and James McLean and his wife Jody of Arcola. He was preceded in death by his father. Tommy was a 1972 graduate of Arcola High School. Right out of high school, he began working at the Chevy dealership in Arthur and then for the railroad. He drove a truck for Pepsi until 1981 when he began working at R.R. Donnelly's and Sons for several years before starting his own electrical company, Illini Electrical. He then retired in 2019 from Hydro Gear in Sullivan. Tommy served on the board for the Mattoon Softball and Baseball Associations. His favorite pastime was spending time with his grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and he enjoyed gardening, smoking meat, and riding his Harley, and adored his dogs, Luke and Gia. Memorials may be made to St. Jude's or a local food pantry. Deanna Kestner. Deanna J. Kestner, 77, of Atwood, Illinois, passed away at 11 a.m. on Thursday, February 11th, at her residence. Visitation was held from 10 to 11:30 on Monday, February 15th, at the Arthur Southern Baptist Church. A memorial service was held following the visitation at the church. Reverend Doug Davis officiated. A graveside burial will take place in the Pilcher Cemetery in Brownstown, Illinois, on Saturday, February 27th at 12 p.m. Reverend Olin Evans will officiate. Edwards Funeral Home is assisting with arrangements. Deanna was born on July 3rd, 1943, in Brownstown, Illinois, the daughter of Leonard Lyle and Margaret Blanche Leister Gow. She married Luther Jean Kestner on July 9th, and Sarah Gordo passed away in October of 2015. She is survived by two grandsons, Timothy Denae and his wife Brittany of Tuscola, and Kevin Denae of Brownstown, Illinois, five great-grandchildren, Brian Donalds, I'm sorry, that's not Denae, it's Donalds, and his fiancée, Courtney, Jordan Donalds, Draven Donalds, Alden Donalds, and Camden Donalds, all of Tuscola. One son-in-law, Tim Donalds of Brownstown, Illinois, one sister, Darlene Phillips, and her husband, Gary, and several nieces, nephews, great-nieces, great-nephews, great-great-nieces, great-great-nephews, and one great-great-great-niece. She was preceded in death by her parents, her husband, one daughter, Shelley, her brothers, William, and a nephew. Deanna was a member of the Brownstown First Baptist Church for 37 years, taught Bible school and Sunday school when she moved to Atwood in 2017, and joined the Arthur Southern Baptist Church. She had worked as a CNA for 21 years at the Cherrywood Nursing Home in Vandalia, Illinois. She also cleaned homes and churches in the area where she lived. Deanna was crazy about her dog, Sadie. She loved doing puzzles, gardening flowers, watching soap operas, spending time with her sister, antiquing, and running around. Memorials may be made to Deanna's family. Ronnie Hooker Sisk. Ronnie Hooker Sisk, age 47, passed away Tuesday, February 16th at the Caldwell Medical Center. She was born on February 1st in 1874 in Champaign, Illinois, to her late parents Ronald Lee Hooker and Georgia Lewis Foster. Ronnie was a 1992 graduate of Dawson Springs High School and went on to earn a bachelor's degree in nursing in 2000. She worked in various nursing homes throughout her career, serving as director of nursing for more than 15 years. Ronnie gave her heart and her hands to the service of the elderly and was well known for the respect she exuded towards all residents and members of her staff. Ronnie fiercely loved her family and was a devoted daughter, sister, aunt, and friend. She enjoyed the simple pleasures of life and loved, above all, to see her children happy. Ronnie's most recent promotion was to that of grandmother, and she immensely enjoyed her new role as Nanny, spending as much time as possible with her grandson. Ronnie is survived by her husband of 10 years, Monty Lee Sisk, stepfather Rick Blanchard, one daughter, Bobby Joe, three sons, Tristan Keith Watson of Madisonville, Luke Ryan Martin, Ricky Jace Sisk of Princeton, one stepdaughter, Michaela Bearden of Henderson, two sisters, Mitzi Kinman of Princeton, and Michelle Huddleston of Eddyville, two brothers, John Campbell of Florida and Tony Hooker of Illinois, one stepsister, Michelle Adcock of Louisville, and one stepbrother, Bart Rushing of Florida, one perfect grandson, James Watson Bell, and several nieces and nephews. Private services will be held at Morgan's Funeral Home in Princeton. During this difficult time, you may show your support by joining the Hugs from Home program, where your message will be attached to a balloon in the chapel to remind the family of your love and support at www.morgansfuneralhome.com.
All hugs need to be received. Well, they should have been received by Friday the 19th. You may light a candle or leave a message for the family at www.morgansfuneralhome.com. And now a little bit of sports news. Tuscola Lady Warriors basketball remains blemish-free this season by Lenny Cementi. Brian Tabling and her partners in crime tallied 43 steals last week while delivering three more wins, all on the road, with their stat line moving to an 8-0 on the season. They opened the week downing Monticello by 20, 58-38 on Wednesday, then upended Warrensburg-Latham for the second time this season, 58-39 on Thursday, before capping it with a thrilling 2-point victory over a very good St. Joe Ogden 48-46 squad on Saturday. Tabling reached the double-digit plateau in all three contests, scoring 44 points, and saved her best for the last, dropping a season-best 8 points and the game winner in the victory at St. Joe to close it out. It would have been a 4-game road trip, but a game scheduled for Veterans Day at Central A&M, now to be played this week on Wednesday, February 24th, was postponed due to weather. Tim Kohlbecker's team opened the week running out to a 14-8 advantage of Monticello on the back of threes by Hope Dietrich and Ella Boyer. Sophia Kremitz hit a pair of field goals in the frame as well and scored 5 more, including a 3-ball in the second quarter, helping the Lady Warriors to a 29-15 lead at the break. She scored 9 points in the first 16 minutes of action. Dietrich connected twice early in the third, fueling an 8-0 run to open the second half, pushing it to 37-15 before the under-5 timeout. The senior wings scored 6 of her 9 points in the stanza. Kremitzky stepped outside the arc once more late in the period before Tabling and Maria Russo to put them away, combining for 10 points in the fourth, while Tuscola limited the Sages to just 2 field goals in the last 10 minutes of the game, sealing the deal on the victory. Tabling provided 15 points, 5 assists, and 5 rebounds to the cause, while Kremitzky ended the night with 12 points on 5 of 9 from the floor and 5 rebounds. Lainey Cummings and Hannah Hornaday were big off the bench, adding 5 boards each to the team totals. Taylor Musgrave and Ella Boyer did some damage as well, accounting for 6 assists, 6 rebounds, and 6 points combined. The Monticello game may be our best overall game to that final point in time, stated the coach. We talked with the team about improving offensive flow and having a better understanding of what we see as a great shot within our system. They responded well with 18 assists, 26 baskets, and our defensive pressure created 14 steals. Trip 2 wasn't as good assist-turnover ratio, but Kohlbecker's crew made up for it by swiping a season-best 22 steals as the Warriors used buckets by Russo and Tabling to a 10-1 before the first under-5 timeout. Kremitzky was the catalyst in the second, hitting a pair of threes early in the period, leading to a 33-20 Warrior lead as the two CIC combatants headed to the locker rooms at the break. Kremitzky's forays outside the arc opened the lane for Russo, who added 10 of her 14 points in the first half alone. She was good on 7 of 10 from the field and added yet another double-double to her resume, grabbing a game-high 10 rebounds. Tabling found her way to the line in the third, finishing off of all 4 of her attempts, and Kremitzky drained another triple, giving Coach K a comfortable 20-point lead heading to the fourth on top 48-28. Kremitzky was good on 3 of her 6 ventures outside the arc in the game, delivering 10 points. Hornaday was also big after the half, scoring all 4 of her points in the final 2 stanzas while grabbing 3 rebounds. Boyer, Cummings, Dietrich, and Musgrave each scored at least 4 points as the Warriors put 9 players into the official scorebook. Marissa gives us another double-double, and Lainey continues to provide instant energy as our 6th man, grabbing 5 rebounds and plays great defense. She has accepted the role to help our team. She is not concerned about scoring, but rebounds and guards, and does it so well, quipped Coach K. We continue refining our offense and have 17 assists on 23 hoops, an outstanding ratio. Hannah played an outstanding game, constantly talking on defense and is always in the right spot, and showed good touch around the rim. And I need to stop right there. This is Kathy. I've been enjoying reading you the Tri-County Journal, which covers the news in the southern half of our listening area. I hope you have a good weekend. It is Friday, the 26th of February, and I'll be signing off for the week.